So today we are having His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we are very fortunate to have His association on the conference call. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Dhanwat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanwat Pranam, all Gurus to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your Nectarian classes. Thank you so much for your valuable association and time. So now you can take over the class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. Thank you for the opportunity. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. We are reading the Madhya Leela, chapter 20th, verse number 114 to 117 today. Verse number 114. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Srila Sanatan Goswami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Yaya Kshetragnya Shakti Sa Vestita Nripa Sarvaga Samsara Tapan Akhilan Avapnoti Yatra Santatan. Translations and Purports by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: O King, the Kshetragna Shakti is the living entity. Although he has the facility to live in either the material or the spiritual world, he suffers the threefold miseries of material existence because he is influenced by the avidya, nascence, potency, which covers his constitutional position. Purport: this and the following verse are also quoted from the Vishnu Puran 6.7.62-63. For an explanation, see Madhya Leela chapter 6 verses 155 and 156. Verse number 115. Again, this is quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Vishnu Puran. Tayatirohitatvacha Shakti Kshetragna Samnita Sarva Bhuteshu Bhupala Tarata Mena Vartate. This living entity, covered by the influence of nascence, exists in different forms in the material condition. O King, he is thus proportionately freed from the influence of the material energy to greater or lesser degrees. Verse number 116. This is quoted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami from Bhagavad Gita. Apareyam itas dvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Translation: besides these inferior energies, O mighty armed Arjun, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. Purport: this is a verse from the Bhagavad Gita 7.5. For an explanation, see Adi Leela chapter 7, verse 118. The last verse for today, verse number 117. Krishna bhuli sei jiva anadi bahir mukha ataiva maya tare diya samsar dukha. This verse is directly spoken in Bengali by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami. Translation: forgetting Krishna by the external feature from time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy Maya gives him all kinds of misery in his material existence. Purport: when the living entity forgets his constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna, he is immediately entrapped by the illusory external energy. The living entity is originally part and parcel of Krishna and is therefore the superior energy of Krishna. He is endowed with inconceivable minute energy that works inconceivably within the body. However, the living entity, forgetting his position, is situated in material energy. The living entity is called the marginal energy because by nature he is spiritual, but by forgetfulness he is situated in the material energy. Thus, he has the power to live either in the material energy or in the spiritual energy. And for this reason, he is called marginal energy. Being in the marginal position, he is sometimes attracted by the external illusory energy, and this is the beginning of his material life. When he enters the material energy, he is subjected to the threefold time measurements: past, present, and future. Past, present, and future belong only to the material world. They do not exist in the spiritual world. The living entity is eternal, and he existed before the creation of this material world. Unfortunately, he has forgotten his relationship with Krishna. The living entity's forgetfulness is described herein as anadi, which indicates that it has existed since time immemorial. One should understand that due to his desire to enjoy himself in competition with Krishna, the living entity comes into material existence. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Thapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurati Se Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Avataram Bhaktakhyam
नमामि भक्त शक्ति कम हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण। आई वुड लाइक टू वेरी सिंसियरली ऑफर माई रिस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस दंडवत प्रणाम्स एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज ऑल द वैष्णवाज ऑल द वैष्णवीज हु आर लिसनिंग एंड आई बेग यू टू प्लीज शावर योर मर्सीफुल ब्लेसिंग्स अपॉन मी सो दैट आई मे बी एबल टू सर्व यू इन अ वे दैट इज प्लीजिंग टू श्री हरि गुरु एंड वैष्णवास। वी आर वेरी फॉर्चुनेट दैट टूडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम चैतन्य चरितामृत विच इज अ रिवील्ड स्क्रिप्चर रिटन इन द स्वीट बंगाली लैंग्वेज विथ सम संस्कृत वर्सेस mixed in it by our beloved Acharya Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. And we are at a very, very important section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very instructive. Because here, our Sambandha Acharya, Srila Sanatana Goswami, is inquiring Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pari Prashnena. He's asking Prashna, he's asking questions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, who has appeared as Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is answering the questions of Sanatana Goswami. But in the beginning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies Sanatana Goswami by telling him that you already know the answers to all these questions. It's not only that you know the answer to all these questions, but my dear Sanatan, you have realized the answers to all the questions you are asking. But because you have asked, I will answer. So we can understand that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking for the benefit of each and every one of us. Because by the compassion, dedication and hard work of our acharyas, especially our Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, the founder and acharya of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It is by his grace that 500 years later, today, in the year 2018, in America, United States of America, we are sitting on a weekday in the middle of the day and we are hearing and reading and trying to understand from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is such a great fortune that we are able to do this. So in the verses that we studied today, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking authoritatively. Although he is Vedantakrut, Vedavid, although he is the compiler of the Vedas, he is the true knower of the Vedas, he is setting the standard. He is setting the right example. Because he is quoting from the scriptures. He is quoting from Vishnu Puran. He is quoting from Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he is establishing the conclusion. He is establishing the bhakti siddhanta for all time to come, for our benefit. And here in the verses that we read today, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining that Krishna's energies are divided into three categories. His antaranga shakti, or his internal energy or potency. Then there is the external energy or external potency, which is the bahiranga shakti. And then there is the tatashta shakti, that marginal potency. And in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that bhumi rapo nalor vayur khammano buddhirevacha ahankar iti amme bhinna prakriti ashtada. These eight energies, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, these are the inferior, external, bhinna prakriti, separated energies of Krishna. So the external energy is divided into these eight categories. And then the internal potency is divided into three categories. There is the samvit, sandhini and ladini shakti. Samvit is the all-knowing potency. Sandhini is the existential potency. And ladini is the pleasure potency. Samvit potency, which is the all-knowing, all-knowledge-giving potency, the internal potency of Krishna, is presided by Krishna himself. The sandhini, the existential spiritual potency, is presided over by Sri Balaramji, because he manifests as the dham. He is the dham shakti. He manifests as Krishna's paraphernalia. So the whole, he is the first expansion of Krishna who supports the whole spiritual existence. So the sandhini, the existential potency, is under the superintendence of Balaramji. The samvit, all the spiritual knowledge giving potency, is presided over by Sri Krishna himself. And the third internal potency, third category of the internal potency, the ladini shakti, the ladini potency, is presided over by Srimati Radharani. So in this way, Shri Krishna, Balaramji and Srimati Radharani, they control the three types of internal potencies. So there are eight types of external potencies. There are three categories in the internal potency. And then in the marginal potency is all of us, the living entities, the jivatmas. So we are marginal. We are at the margin. We are on the fence. We are, although by nature spiritual, that's why in the verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted from Bhagavad Gita, it was clear. And that verse from Bhagavad Gita which was quoted comes directly after Bhumi Rapor Nalovayur verse. So in that verse, Krishna is saying that, yes, these eight are my inferior separated energies, but then there is the energy which is superior to this material energy. And that is the living entities, jiva bhuta, word Krishna uses in that verse. And they are exploiting, they are trying to enjoy, they are trying to control, lord it over this inferior material energy. So that is us, the marginal potency, the jivatmas. Jivara swarubhaya Krishnara nityadas. Originally we are spiritual, originally we are Krishna's servants, Krishna's devotees. But in the last verse's purport that we read today, Srila Prabhupada explains that out of this forgetfulness that we have since time immemorial, we have left Krishna's service and we are engaging in the service of Maya. And Maya energy subjects us to the threefold miseries, adhidaivik, adhyatmik and adhibhautik. Adhidaivik means miseries caused to us by things that are beyond our control. Forces of nature, for example. The winter storm that has hit the northern states of our country. Right now, so many flights are cancelled. So many people have lost power, electricity. So many people are inconvenienced. Then there are hurricanes, which can be fatal. So many people are killed. There are tornadoes, there are tsunamis, earthquakes. These are all these miseries are adi daivik. Then we have adi bhautik. Misery is caused by other living entities. It may be a small, tiny virus, but it may cause hepatitis C, it may cause HIV, it may be a small bacteria, but it may cause tuberculosis, or it may cause pneumonia, it may be a small virus causing flu. So other living entities, it may be a crazy person who gets hold of a gun and starts shooting innocent people in a school. So all the terrorism, all these things, misery is caused by other living entities. A mosquito may come and bite us and inject a parasite into our body and we may get malaria. So all these problems caused to us by other living entities are adhibhautik. And then there are adhyatmik problems. Misery is caused by our own body. A tumor or a cancer may start growing within our own body. We may not know it until it causes symptoms or until, you know, it is detected. So that is misery is caused by the own body. And then our body is not just the gross body. We have the subtle body also, consisting of our mind and intelligence. And there can be disorders of the mind and intelligence. There can be depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, autism, mental retardation. So many problems with the mind and intelligence. So these are all adhyatmik, a klesh. Misery is caused by our own physical body, our material body. So when we take shelter of material nature, the Trishul, the trident of Durga Devi, who is the shadow potency, shadow energy of Krishna, she subjects us to these three types of miseries, not to get some sadistic pleasure. Durga Devi is a great devotee of Krishna. But she subjects us to these miseries simply so that we wake up to the reality. We wake up to the truth and we become frustrated in our futile attempts to become permanently happy in this material world. Because that is the problem, that is the avidya that Chaitanya Charitam, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada are talking about in the four verses that we read today. This is the avidya, this is the ignorance which propels us to make mistakes, to commit sinful activities again and again and again. We want to live permanently in this material world. We get a nice job, we come to a comfortable place, comfortable country, we have a house, we have a car, we have enough savings in the bank, we have good family members who we feel will protect us, give us happiness, and we feel that, okay, this is a permanent job. I got a permanent resident card, I got permanent this, permanent that. And slowly, slowly we develop a mentality that we are going to live here permanently. Okay, I'm not in an apartment, I'm in a permanent house now. I'm a homeowner. And we develop this mentality that, okay, all this is permanent. Despite seeing that there are tragedies happening everywhere around us, but still we somehow get illusioned. We are under the influence of the avidya and we start thinking that I can be permanently happy here. Even as devotees, Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was asked in the Yaksha Samvad in Mahabharata, he was asked, what is the most surprising thing? Yudhishthira Maharaj, being a great authority, expansion of Yamaraj himself, Dharmaraj, who is one of the 12 Mahajans, Yudhishthira Maharaj replied, Ahani ahani bhutani gachanti hayamalayam sheshasthavaram ichanti kimascharyam athaparam. Ahani ahani bhutani. In this world, day after day we see gachanti hayamalayam. People are gachanti, they are dispatched, they are sent to the abode of Yamaraj, Yamalaya. And the remaining people, shesha means the remaining people. Shesha, Sthavaram Ichhanti. Their Ichha, their desire is that we will be Sthavaram. We will live here, stable, permanently. Chesha Sthavaram Ichhanti. Kim Ascharyam Athaparam. What can be more surprising? Ascharya, what can be more surprising than this? Every day we see, we read in the newspapers, we see in our own family, relatives, we get messages that so somebody passed away, somebody left his body. We see that people are having to leave this world, timely or untimely. They are having to die. They are subjected to birth, old age, disease and death. But still, we act in a way, we behave in a way that we are not going to die. We just have to introspect, my dear Prabhus and Matajis. We have to introspect our behavior and thinking. How often we behave a little arrogant. Arrogance means we feel we are not going to die. A person who is about to die will never be arrogant. I have seen so many patients die. I have never seen them arrogant on their deathbed. Never. So many people, I place them in hospital hospice when they are actively dying. Never. They will call their relatives, even people they have never spoken to in years. They will call, they will try to make it up. They will try to patch up their differences. They will be humble. They will be scared. So when we are arrogant with our fellow devotees or people who are in our vision not devotees yet, we may call them karmis or non-devotees or whatever. If we are arrogant, there is never a good justification to be arrogant. Why should a devotee be arrogant? But the problem is, we feel so empowered by the philosophy that we are taught. We become so enamored by our success in whatever our services. It may be preaching, it may be deity worship, it may be leading kirtan, playing musical instruments, it may be being manager, our position. We may be proud of the number of years we have been in Krishna consciousness. We may be proud of our humility, so-called humility. Quietly at the end of every program, we may be sweeping the floor of the temple and we can be thinking, everybody is chatting, everybody is sitting and gossiping and I am humbly sweeping the temple. Everybody must be noticing how service-oriented I am, how humble I am, how renounced I am. We can become proud of our so-called humility or our so-called humble services. So constantly, the Kurukshetra battle is going on inside. The Yuddha is going on inside. Krishna says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yuddha cha mai arpita mano budhir ma meva shashi asamshaya. In that very, very intense section of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is talking about antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayati samadbhavan yatra asti na samshaya, says that antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram, when you, at the time of giving up your kalevaram, at the time of giving up your body, whatever you remember at the end, antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevar. He says, you must remember me. Yaha prayati samadbhavan. You will attain madbhavan. You will attain my nature. Of this, there is no doubt. Nasti atra samshaya. There is no doubt. And then he says, initially he says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavan tajante ante kalevaram tam tam evaite kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavita. That whatever state of mind you are in at the time of death, yam yam vapi smaran bhavan, whatever you remember at the time of death, tejante ante kalevaram, at time of giving up your body, that form you will attain. tantam evaite kaunteya sadatad bhava bhavita, that nature you will attain. And then immediately, so these are intense verses. When we see some devotee has left his or her body suddenly in a road accident, or suddenly of a heart attack or stroke, then we are wondering what must have happened, what must have been the consciousness of that devotee, what must have been the destination of that devotee. So these are the verses that guide our thinking. So when Krishna is talking about these two very, very important, very intense verses of what happens to us after death, what our consciousness should be at a time of death, he says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavanta jantyante kalevaram tam tam evaite kaunteya sadatat bhava bhavita. And immediately in the next verse he says, tasmad, therefore, because you are going to attain whatever state you think of, meditate on at the time of quitting your body, therefore, tasmad, sarveshu kaleshu, at all times, mam anusmara. Therefore, my dear Arjun, at every moment, you should try to think of me. You should think of me. Mam anusmara. Yudhyacha. And you fight. Mai arpita mano buddhir. If you are constantly thinking of me, that means you are offering your mind and intelligence to me. Mai arpita. Offering to me, mano buddhir, your mind and intelligence. Mam eva shashi asamshaya. You will definitely come to me. Of this there is no doubt. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha mai arpita mano buddhir mam eva shashi asamshaya. This verse we should all ingrain it into our consciousness. Therefore, at all times we have to keep Krishna in the focus and fight. So when we see this word and fight in this verse, we may immediately think, our mind can immediately tell us that, oh, don't worry about it. This verse is only for Arjun, because he is the one who is going to fight. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Krishna is telling Arjun, specifically Arjun, therefore think of me, Arjun, and you know, fight. Because you know, you may die anytime while fighting, so better you think of me all the time and fight. But no, that is the whole point. Nothing in Bhagavad Gita is just for Arjun. Otherwise, in the 18th chapter, in the very end, Krishna would not have said that anyone who studies our sacred conversation, my dear Arjun, know it for sure that he is worshipping me by his intelligence. Krishna wants us to carefully study Bhagavad Gita, because that is worshipping Krishna with our intelligence. We worship our deities with our mind. We worship our deities with our karmendriya and jnanendriyas, with our eyes and hands and so many things we worship. With our mind we plan what kind of garland I'm going to do, what kind of dress I'm going to put on my Krishna today, what kind of, you know, where I'm going to put how many tulsi leaves. All that we are doing with our mind, with our hand, eyes and everything, we are engaging in Krishna's service. But we can worship Krishna in the same way with our intelligence by studying the revealed scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi. So this instruction, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha, is for all of us. Because just like Arjun, each one of us are fighting. We are all fighting. Every day. And what is that fight? The fight is to not become proud of sweeping the floors of the temple at the end of Sunday feast, when everybody is sitting and talking. The fight is to not think that I have connected so many people to Krishna consciousness. So many people are coming to my Bhakti Vruksha and getting connected. I am giving them Krishna consciousness. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, ahankara vimudhatma, completely bewildered and illusioned by ego, ahankar. What do we think when we are illusioned by ahankar, false ego?
We think karta aham iti manyate. We think that I am the karta, I am the doer. Karta aham. I have connected all these people. All these people are glorifying my classes. So many people are coming for my satsang. I am mesmerizing them. I am attracting their hearts. I am studying the scriptures and making such nice presentations. I should become the most popular. That is the fight. That is the fight within. It goes on till we are in the material world. Jananivas Prabhu says, till the time we are in the material world, we are in Maya Sagar. We are going to be attacked and tested. Yes, we come to Krishna consciousness and we make spiritual advancement. We get a taste. Jayapataka Maharaj, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, he explains, every one of us must understand this principle. If from today's class you want to just take home one message, then please take home this one message of Jayapataka Maharaj. Everyone must understand this. By not understanding this principle, so many devotees have problems in their spiritual life. What does Jayapataka Maharaj say? Srila Jayapataka Maharaj explains that initially we are materialistic. And then we meet devotees. And they connect us to Krishna consciousness. They connect us to Srila Prabhupada. We read Prabhupada's books. We read Perfect Question, Perfect Answers. We read Science of Self-Realization. We may attend a few programs, few lectures. We ask questions. Our doubts are clarified. We hear nice kirtans which touch the heart. We take darshan. We eat Krishna Prasad. We become convinced of the philosophy. We start chanting. We start chanting Hare Krishna. And then we are encouraged to continue the fire of your Krishna consciousness. To keep the fire of Krishna consciousness burning, you must attend satsangs. You must associate with devotees. And then, as new bhaktas, we start attending satsangs and we start associating with devotees. We beg devotees, Prabhuji, Mataji, please come home for prasadam. I want to serve you. I will make food without onion garlic. We have also given up eating onion garlic now. We don't bring any non-veg in our house, no meat in our house, no onion garlic in our house. We also have a photograph of Radha Gopinath. We will offer it to Prabhupada. We will make prasad. We want to feed you prasad. Prabhuji, please come now. Please come to my house. And we invite devotees. Sadhu Sangha. They are so humble. We invite devotees. We give them gifts. We tell them, please, Prabhuji, give your association. Is it okay if once a week I call you? So humble we are. Prabhuji, I had this doubt. I asked that devotee. He explained so nicely. He's such a nice devotee. I'm so grateful. We are so humble initially. Then we start attending satsangs. We sit lap to lap, shoulder to shoulder with devotees. We ask questions. We serve. We want to serve prasadam. We want to clean up after the Bhakti Vriksha program. Or satsang program, or Sunday feast program, or whichever satsang we are going for. We want to do service. We are so humble, we are so energetic, we are so enthusiastic. We ask, which books should I read, Prabhu, which book should I start with? I really want to read. Oh, you start with Bhagavad Gita. Read the introduction, Nectarian 40 pages. Read that and start with the first chapter. We start with the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita after reading the introduction. We feel so good. We read the first verse of Upadeshamrit, Nectar of Instruction. We read the long purports. We glorify Prabhupada. Wow, what nice purports. We are so enthusiastic. We are so humble, so eager to learn. And our bhakti curve is going steep. Our bhakti is increasing rapidly in a very short duration of time. All of you must have experienced that. Initially, when we come to Krishna consciousness, Jayapataka Maharaj says, we are very enthusiastic, very eager to learn new things. Ekadashi. Oh, I didn't know that. No beans and grains. Okay, Prabhuji, I will not eat. I will do Nirjal. I will just drink some water. We are so enthusiastic. Oh, Janmashtami, I will do Nirjal. so enthusiastic, so humble initially. And Srila Jayapataka Maharaj says, that is why initially we make rapid progress. We are absorbing everything like a dry sponge. Everything that comes, we soak it up. Every pastime we hear, we soak it up. We want more. Because we are enthusiastic and humble. Everybody around us is senior to us. We think everybody is very elevated, very advanced. We serve them humbly. We deal with them in a very humble spirit. We make rapid advancement. And then we start chanting 16 rounds. And then we see another new devotee who is coming and he is not even chanting. And then we start instructing that devotee. And then we start helping other devotees. And then we are considered a little bit more senior. We know how the prasadam is to be set up. We know how the prasadam is to be served. We know how to take the aarti paraphernalia around the hall, who to offer it first, who gets the ghee lamp first. We know all these little things which new devotees don't know. And subtly, subconsciously, we start thinking, I am better. I am better. And that is where the problem happens. And then we start seeing some devotees having difficulties in their spiritual life. And we talk about it. We gossip about it. We discuss about it. Because we are spiritually very healthy at that time. When someone is healthy and another person is not doing so well, the tendency is to instruct. Oh, take this. You're having cough. You know, eat this. Take some clove, boil it in water, drink that warm water with the clove essence in it. It will help you with your cough. Do this, do that. Very, very natural tendency is to instruct. Initially, we may do it to help. But then the feeling comes, oh, this person is coughing. He cannot even speak properly. I can give a full class. I am better than him. Oh, he's only chanting two rounds and he's asking question that yesterday I missed my two rounds and look at me. I have been chanting 16 rounds for 2 months. I am better than him. Jayapataka Maharaj explains that as we spend more time in Krishna consciousness, as we live in the association of devotees more and more, we start noticing the deficiencies and the difficulties that other devotees are having in their spiritual life. And then we hear that someone has blooped, someone has fallen down. Oh, how great we feel. How can he give up Krishna consciousness? Oh, he's in so much maya. And we look down upon devotees who are having difficulties or devotees who have left. We may not do it so dramatically. We may not do it so loudly, but subtly we start believing that we are better than others. Subtly we start taking credit. Subtly we start expecting appreciation and glorification. And subconsciously we tend to choose those services where we get more recognition, where we get more appreciation and glorification. Very subtly, we start seeking those services which will put us on a prominent pedestal. And we neglect those services for which we are not getting any appreciation, glorification. Now we are chanting 16 rounds. Nobody tells us, oh, wow, you're chanting 16 rounds. No, I've been chanting for 6 months. Nobody asks us. Oh, how many rounds are you chanting? 16 rounds? Wow, Prabhu Hari Bol. You should wear Kanthimala now. Nobody tells us. The Kanthimala is already there. We are chanting 16 rounds every day in the morning, but nobody is appreciating. Nobody is appreciating. Nobody is glorifying. Nobody is announcing that Adi Gadhar Das is chanting 16 rounds.
Initially, they used to announce, they would tell everybody, that was my introduction, that this is Adi Gadadhar Das. He chants 16 rounds, Prabhu, very sincere devotee. Nobody is saying like that now. Subconsciously, we start thinking, so why should I chant? Because I am getting glorification when I stand in the prasadam line and I serve prasadam out. I get appreciated when I am sweeping the floor of the temple. I get appreciated when I give a donation. I don't get appreciated when I am chanting my 16 rounds. Nobody even knows whether I am doing it or not. Okay, I will chant 4 rounds in the morning. Remaining anyway, I have to spend 1 hour in the car. Remaining rounds I'll do in the car. Anyway, I have nothing to do in the car. Nobody is going to notice. Nobody is going to ask me. And if somebody asks, I don't have to tell. That is how our downfall starts. Jayapataka Maharaj explains, when we start noticing the difficulties and deficiencies of devotees around us, the natural tendency in the material world is to gossip and talk about it. And because we are not purified yet, we bring those same materialistic tendencies of gossiping and prajalpa into Krishna conscious society. And we start gossiping about it. Nobody is going to benefit from it. A and B devotees are sitting and they are gossiping about the difficulties of C. How does it help C? How does it help devotee B? And how does it help devotee A? If you want to tell, if you have that relationship, better A goes directly to devotee C. Dante Trinadhari takes a straw between the teeth, offers obeisances, embraces and says, Prabhu, I am your well-wisher, I am doing this for your benefit. This is really wrong what you are doing. It will land you in trouble. It will come back to you. Prabhu, please don't do this. But instead of doing that, we will smile, haribol to devotee C, and when we meet devotee B, we will talk about devotee C. Doesn't help anybody. It actually hurts. Jayapataka Maharaj says, when we start talking and we start getting into this fault-finding mode, instead of, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj says, we should be love-finding, not fault-finding. You have to find love. Okay, this devotee may be having this difficulty, but this devotee comes for Sunday feast regularly. He takes darshan with love. He definitely drinks Charanamrita every time without fail. We have to find the good qualities. We have to be love-finding. But unfortunately, what happens is, our tendency, our previous conditioning is such that other people's difficulties are very juicy and sweet and nectarian to talk about. Because other devotees don't know, and I am the one who is going to break that news. Oh, Prabhu, you don't know? Oh, yeah, he did that. Yeah, it was him. I'm telling you. Yeah. He's the one. Oh, Adi Gadadhar Das knows lot of things. Huh? He's really very advanced. And then I develop taste. Instead of developing taste for Krishna Katha and Krishna Naam, Adi Gadadhar Das develops taste for gossip and prajalpa. And then he becomes famous as the person with the maximum knowledge about most controversies in the society. Most fall downs. I know the full history. I can give a complete analysis. But what is happening internally is, I am thinking I am better than all these devotees who I am gossiping about. Therefore, I have a right to gossip. And that's how arrogance comes. And then we offend other devotees. And then, Bahirmukha, in this verse, Bahirmukha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining, when we turn away from Krishna, when we remove Krishna from the focus, and we bring controversies, other devotees' difficulties, their fall downs, their wrongdoings into the focus of our conversation, into the focus of our consciousness, that is where the problem happens. If somebody is abusing some devotees, if somebody is manipulating, exploiting other devotees, and you speak something or act in a way that protects yourself from those wrongdoings, from that deviation, and protects others from that infection and contamination. That is not Vaishnavaprad. Vaishnavaprad happens when we don't pray for that difficulty, when we don't pray for that devotee who is having the difficulty. Because we are supposed to hate the disease but love the diseased. We have to hate the sin but love the sinner. So when we simply gossip about somebody's difficulties but we don't fall down in front of Krishna and pray for that devotee, Krishna, I think that devotee is having this difficulty, is, you know, doing these things which are not representing Srila Prabhupada's pure teachings, please protect him, please maintain him. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was praying, Raksha Maam, Pahi Maam, when he was leaving the association of devotees and going on his South India Yatra. Krishna, 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 hey, that prayer. Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Raksha Maam. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahi Maam. This Raksha Maam, Pahi Maam. Are we praying like this for that devotee? Krishna, please protect and maintain that devotee having difficulties. Please protect and maintain all the devotees. Please protect and maintain me. Please protect and maintain all the living entities in the whole creation. Are we praying like that? Or are we just gossiping? So when we bring the controversies and difficulties of other devotees into the primary focus of our consciousness, conversations, discussions, and our life, then we develop taste for gossip. If we keep these controversies, difficulties, problems, fall downs in the periphery, and keep Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrit, Bhagavad Gita, bhajans of our Vaishnava Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada's purports, pure teachings of Gurudev in the focus, in the center. And yes, controversy comes, deviation comes, exploitation comes. We deal with it, but we keep it in the periphery. Not make it our meditation. We don't get pleasure by talking about it. We don't get pleasure by showing others how that person has fallen down. As long as we are not getting anand from that, as long as we are not making it a meditation, we deal with it in a Vaishnava way. We take precautions if we have to, if we have others and we are in that position to do that, then we do that. But we leave those things in the periphery. The focus is on the nectar. And the nectar is in our Vaishnava bhajans, our aartis, our sadhana, Krishna katha, Krishna naam. If we are focused on that, if we are focused on those individuals who are nourishing our faith, Jayapataka Maharaj, Gopal Krishna Maharaj, all our Guru Gan, Bhakti Charu Maharaj, all our great acharyas who are there, their lectures, their activities, things that give us hope, things that give us inspiration, if we keep that in the focus, and controversies and everything, we keep them in the periphery. Like when we are driving, we focus on the road ahead of us. We focus on the cars, pedestrians ahead of us. That is the focus. Similarly, we should keep Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrit, Bhagavad Gita, Acharyas, Bhajans, our pure Acharyas, their Vaishnava Bhajans, Narottam Das Thakur, Loknath Goswami, our Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's purports. If we keep all these things in the focus, like while driving, we keep the road in front of us, ahead of us, in the focus, then we are safe. Controversies, difficulties, corruption, politics, exploitation, they are like our peripheral vision. Yes, when we are driving, there is a sky on the top and there will be bright sunlight shining in our eyes through the windshield and we put down the visor to protect us. But we don't keep staring at the sun. Ah, look at the sun, look at the sun, look at... No, we'll die. We'll become blind, we'll have an accident. Yes, the sun is in the periphery vision, it's shining from the top. We put the visor down, we deal with it. But we focus on the road ahead of us, we focus on the cars ahead of us, we focus on the traffic light ahead of us. Yes, there may be a cow walking down on the right side by the sidewalk by the road. Doesn't happen so much in US, but I'm just giving an example. Or there may be something going on, somebody selling something on the side. There may be trees of fall colors. We want to see the different trees, different colors. All these are distractions. But they're okay, they're there. They're in the peripheral vision. We deal with it if we have to deal with it. And sometimes there are serious issues. Sometimes, you know, devotees are, you know, we are all not completely purified. There may be serious problems. That's like an accident that has happened in front of us, in our lane. There's a crash. So you have to avoid. Yes, that time you will focus on it. Because it's right in front of you. It's going to affect you. You're going to collide with it. You temporarily bring it in the focus. You change your lane. You give the blinkers. You change your lane. You put the emergency light. And, you know, you just carefully slow down. Be careful. You avoid that contamination. You avoid that collision. You may call 911 if the police is not already there. Because you want to, out of concern, you are calling 911. You're not getting pleasure by calling up 911 that there is a crash on this interstate near this exit. No, you're doing it out of concern. Sometimes you may have to be a whistleblower. You may have to, you know, tell the authorities, tell the GBC, tell the local leadership, tell your counselor, your mentor that certain things are happening. Yes, at that time you may temporarily, you may be forced to bring those controversial things, that contamination in your focus, but that's very temporary. You just do the needful. You warn the authorities if you're in a position. You don't stop the car and jump out and try to help somebody in the burning car because you're not trained. You call 911. If you're trained, if someone is in an accident and you know how to deal with it, you're in a position to help, yes, by all means. Be careful. Go ahead and help those people in the crash. But if you are not trained, if you don't have, you know, blinkers on your car, you just cannot stop abruptly like that and try to help. You may get hurt or other people may come and hit your car. You may create a pile up there. So sometimes you have to deal with it. You have to notify the authorities out of concern. And then you just go. You change your lane and you carry on with your journey. You don't get distracted. And you have to go to the airport or you have to go for an important meeting. You don't get carried away by these things. Oh, there was a two cars had a collision and they were fighting and, you know, I waited there to see what the police says and, you know, whether that tow truck comes or not and whether the car was total. No, it's not our concern. It is not our job. Not concern. We feel for everyone, but it's not our job. We carry on with our journey. We focus on the road. We focus on our destination. We want to get there. We want to go to Krishna. That will please Prabhupada. So yes, we help. We sometimes do things. But our focus is always on the road ahead of us. On the cars in front of us. And that is our Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Our acharyas. Our acharyas are never going to have controversies. Our acharyas are never going to have fall downs. They are pure devotees. Let's focus on that. That is where we get our hope and faith from. We don't get our faith and hope from controversies and fall downs. So this principle of focusing is very important. What is in the focus and what is in the periphery? So that is very important. So Jayapataka Maharaj is explaining that when we start offending devotees, when we start becoming arrogant, when we start doing fault finding, our spiritual progress slows down. And we experience it when we are 5-6 years into Krishna consciousness, 10 years into Krishna consciousness, even 15 years into Krishna consciousness, even 20 years, we experience that slowdown. Don't we? Initially, our bhakti curve is going zoop up, ready for initiation. And then, once we get initiated, we just hit a plateau. And sometimes we actually hit a downslope. We were chanting better rounds before we got initiated. And now we have all just slowed down. That happens, we have to analyze our activities, we have to analyze our mind, analyze our feelings. Are we putting water on the fire of our bhakti? Are we igniting
the fire? Are we putting firewood by chanting good quality 16 rounds? And the fire of bhakti starts blazing in the morning, and then later in the day, we offend devotees and put water on it. Then we say, I'm chanting 16 rounds. It's not working. Process doesn't work. So many people are falling down. I'm also having difficulties. This doesn't work. And then we leave. No, it's putting fuel in the fire of bhakti is one thing. That is required. But what is also required is we don't pour water of Vaishnava Prad into that fire. So we have to constantly fight. We have to constantly analyze our thoughts, our motives, our desires. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this for my own glorification, distinction, appreciation? Or am I doing it in the spirit of trying to become a useful instrument in the hands of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga? We have to question our motives. Why am I taking up this service? Why am I speaking this? What is my motive? Is it to find love? Am I motivated by love? Or am I motivated by ego and pride and arrogance? What is motivating me? Even when we give a feedback to a devotee, what is my motivation? Is it my motivation to serve this devotee, go closer to Krishna? Is it my motive to serve this devotee by helping him or her advance? Or is it my motive to prove that I am very realized, I am very advanced, and show others that this devotee is fallen? We have to question our motives. We have to question our motives constantly. So this yuddha, this internal yuddha, will go on till our last breath. It will go on as long as we are in the material world. And we have to fight like Arjun. But we have to give the reins of our chariot to Krishna. And we have to take instructions from Krishna. If Krishna says, shoot Divyastra, we have to shoot Divyastra. If Krishna says, chop off the head, even though his chariot wheel is stuck in mud, we have to do it. If Krishna says, lie, we have to lie. If Krishna says, fight, we have to fight. We have to follow Krishna's instructions. And Krishna's instructions come to us through scriptures and through our spiritual master, another Guru Gan, our Shiksha Gurus. These are just some thoughts. Let me see what the time is. So, yeah, it's been 1 hour. So we were going to discuss the pastimes of Srila Govinda Ghosh, but we can leave that. We'll do that another time. But these were some of the thoughts about how we come into Krishna consciousness from material life. These verses that we read today, they describe how being the marginal potency, sometimes we are under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Sometimes we are under the influence of the spiritual energy of Krishna, Ladini Shakti. But when we come on the process of devotional service, actually we are all on the process of, believe it or not, all of us are on the process of pure devotional service. Srila Prabhupada was asked, how many pure devotees have you made? And Srila Prabhupada asked one of his disciples, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? 3,000, Prabhupada. We have 3,000 pure devotees. And the devotees sitting there are wondering, what? I am a pure devotee. Prabhupada is a pure devotee. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a pure devotee. He is calling us a pure devotee. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj explains that what Prabhupada means is all of us are on the path of pure devotional service. Waking up in the morning and that eternally liberated Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is in deeply steeped in Madhurya Ras. When we start chanting Samsara Dava Narali, the beautiful Mangalarti prayers written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur early in the morning, that is pure devotional service. How dear Jayadeva Goswami is to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how dear Jayadeva Goswami is to Jagannath Ji. Jagannath Ji hears Jayadeva Goswami's Geet Govind, including the Dashavatar Stotra, which is part of the Geet Govind, every evening.
And then at night, he wraps around himself a shawl which has the entire Git Govind embroidered in it. How dear Jaidev Goswami is to Krishna. Krishna himself came and wrote few verses of Git Govind for him. So when we chant Narsimharti, which has Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakhamadbhuta Shrungam, written by Jaidev Goswami, it is the ecstasy coming from Jaidev Goswami, a pure devotee, his heart. When we are reciting those prayers, it is pure devotional service. Narottam Das Thakur, Shri Guru Charana Padma, when we are offering Prabhupada his Guru Arti and we are chanting Narottam Das Thakur's ecstasy that erupted from his heart for his Gurudev Loknath Maharaj, Loknath Goswami, when we are repeating those prayers humbly, pure devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat in Vrindavan, Imli Tal, in Radha Bhav, in Mahabhav, he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we are chanting at least 16 rounds of that Hare Krishna Mahamantra on our Tulsi Mala in front of our deities every day, that is pure devotional service. Because the same mantra, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, was chanted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, by all our Acharyas. Gaur Aarti in the evening. It is the ecstatic samadhi bhasha. It is the ecstatic revelation of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhakati binoda dekhe gaurara sambha. It is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's ecstatic vision that he is sharing with us, and we repeat those beautiful words of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is Kamala Manjari in Goloka Vrindavan. It is pure devotional service. What has Prabhupada given us, Prabhuji's and Mataji's? Pure devotional service. We have access, the whole treasure house is open in front of us. The whole marketplace is open. Nityananda Prabhu has opened it. We have access to pure devotional service. We are on the path of pure devotional service. We are on the path of becoming pure devotees. All we need is to keep our focus on things that give us hope and spiritual inspiration, and things that disturb our faith, things that damage our faith, things that do not bring us closer to Krishna Katha and Krishna Naam, let us keep them in the periphery. If we remember our basics, we are actually on the path of pure devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada wants to see us become pure devotional service. With the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and all our great acharyas, we will become pure devotees someday. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj has composed Tulsi Aarti. Who is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj? He's a Manjari from Golok Vrindavan. He's giving us Tulsi Aarti. We are chanting Tulsi Aarti. We are worshipping Tulsi Maharani. She's an expansion of Srimati Radharani. We are worshipping Gaur Nitai, Jagannath Balde Subhadra, Radha Krishna. What a elevated culture Srila Prabhupada has given us. What is the value? Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says the problem with us is that we are unconscious in Krishna consciousness. We are unconscious in Krishna consciousness. We are not conscious of the glories of all these wealth that we have received. What is the depth of Narsimharti? We just sometimes just tell some child, okay, you do Narsimharti. And then we are just laughing, taking pictures. Yeah, we can do all that. But what is Narsimharti? Who was Jaidev Goswami? What bhav he must have experienced when he wrote down what bhav Bhaktivinoda Thakur, what Bhaktivinoda Thakur must have gone through, what he must have experienced when he wrote Gaura Aarti. He actually envisioned that beautiful scene on the banks of Ganga, in the forest of Navadvip, on a simhasan. The beautiful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting, whose body is more effulgent than crores of moon. Bahu koti chandra jime badana ujwala.
What is the ecstasy that Bhaktivinoda Thakur must have experienced? When we are chanting their bhajans, their aartis, we are actually taking shelter of them. They are going to bless us. We experience spiritual difficulties, then somebody reminds us, Adi Gadadhar Prabhu, you were supposed to chant your 16th round during Brahma Murta, Baba. Why are you chanting in your car? Oh, yes. I will start chanting during Brahma Murta. And then other people are having difficulties. So I tell them, Prabhu, Mataji, you should chant during Brahma Murta. Oh, Prabhu, you are chanting? Yes, I am chanting during Brahma Murta always. Oh, wow, Prabhu, we will also do. And they start chanting. And then others are sometimes telling, oh, Prabhu, it is 8 o'clock at night. I still have rounds left. And I'm thinking, Prabhu, before 7 o'clock, I not only finished 16, I finished my extra rounds also. Look at you. It's 8 p.m. and you are still struggling to chant. And look at how you are chanting. How distracted you are. You are getting phone calls. Your wife is calling you. Your children want to play with you. I am so advanced. What is the problem here? Now I have become proud of the Brahma Murta Japa, proud of my own sadhana. Is Krishna going to be pleased? I may wake up at 4 o'clock and chant, but Krishna is not going to be pleased because forgotten the basics. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught clearly what should be the mode of chanting. Pranadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtani sadahari. Why do we forget the basics? We should never leave the ABCs of Krishna consciousness. That is where the problem is. When we advance, we feel that we have become independent of the basics of Krishna consciousness. Kirtan is going on and we are standing outside and talking to other devotees. We feel we have become independent of Sankirtan. Golokera Premadhana Hari Nama Sankirtana. Golok Vrindavan's Premadhana has descended. Sankirtan is going on and we are standing outside and gossiping. We have forgotten the basics. When we were new devotees, we used to be mesmerized. What is this? Sankirtan, wow. What they are chanting, let me also chant. Sometimes we used to get tears in our eyes. But now, Prabhu, you are not going into the temple. Lecture start now. Lecture has not started. The kirtan is going on. I'll go later on. That is how, we have to be very careful. This yuddha, this fight will go on. And we should have a fighting spirit like Arjun. We should fight. This is the real hero. Person who fights. But doesn't think that he is a hero. But we glorify them. Why do we feel so happy when Bhakti Charu Maharaj comes in Atlanta? Why do we feel so happy when Jayapataka Maharaj comes in Atlanta? Why are we clamoring to have their darshan running as if they are some Hollywood or Bollywood star? The whole world is glorifying and idolizing and worshipping the Hollywood and Bollywood stars. But we are glorifying and worshipping all these advanced devotees when they come. We are clamoring for their darshan, offering dandavat, inviting them home for prasad. Why are we doing all this? Because they are our true celebrities. Jayapataka Maharaj is our true celebrity. Gopal Krishna Maharaj, when he comes to Atlanta, he is our true celebrity. Bhakti Charu Maharaj is our true celebrity. Why? Because we celebrate their success in Krishna consciousness. We celebrate their dedication, their devotion to Srila Prabhupada. We celebrate that. That's why they are our celebrities. And they will be pleased with us when we advance in Krishna consciousness. But the truth is, an advanced devotee never feels that he or she is advanced. And that was the story we were going to discuss today about Govinda Ghosh. But we will probably do it some other time. So these were just some of my thoughts. I am actually preaching to myself. And very grateful to all of you for tolerating me. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranams, and glories to Srila Prabhupada. Very, very power-packed class. Every word was applicable to me. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking so much time and opening my eyes. Thank you. And I really like many things we were talking about how much subtly, in a very subtle fashion, as a lot of things, our mood, our services, everything changes over a period of time. And fantastic comparison of the sun you gave, Prabhu. It was very, very beautiful. How staring at the sun is actually, I mean, not going to help. It's like you have to take out these unnecessary things out of our focus and Krishna consciousness. And how in the, even the hospital example you were giving, that was very, very nice about how people at the time of death, they don't seem to be arrogant at all. Yeah, I think that is a very deep thing, deep realization that you gave. Very beautiful, Prabhu. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I think every word you spoke made a lot of sense to me. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for giving this beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Priti Vilasini Mataji, for your kind words of encouragement. Hare Krishna. All glories to Shri
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No interruption. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavats.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much again, as Priti Vilasini Mataji said, a power-packed class. And it's quite appropriate how explicitly you describe that subtle fall down, and how at every single solitary step we have to be aware. And you know, I think about this when I was explaining something to somebody and I was telling them, it's like we're alcoholics. You know, it's like an alcoholic. You know, have that 10-step program where they tell you that every day is a new day. It's not like you are completely free. We're tempted. It brings to mind that we're tempted continuously by Maya. That as long as we're in this material world, and as long as, even if we, you know, as we progress, we still have those temptations. We still have roadblocks that we need to cross through, and we need to make sure that we, you know, get up in the morning, like I said, be like an alcoholic. Every day is a new day, and every day you're going to have a choice. Today I'm not going to drink. So we have to keep telling ourselves, okay, today I'm not going to drink from the glass of Maya, you know. I'm going to drink prasadam. So, you know, it's just really brings to fore how diligent we have to be and how subtly Maya works. Thank you, Prabhuji, so much. As Mataji said, this was very appropriate for me also, and especially when you say, you know, I mean, I can't even explain, just when you were saying, Adigada Adar Prabhu, this is like this, and I'm thinking, that's actually, my name should go there, you know, so trying to maintain that focus on my sadhana and control that arrogance. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for sharing your insight. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Well, everything was so nice, and I was thinking about Sulinas Jayapata Goswami Maharaj was saying, well, it's so applicable to me. Like, in the beginning, there was so much enthusiasm, and there were so many difficulties, but still, we keep our enthusiasm. But now, if something happens to me, like my sadhana becomes disturbed, and I feel so difficult. So there are so many situations. So I have to analyze where I have to improve, or what is my focus. That you said very truly that if we are driving the car, that our focus should be on the road only. So I should remember that our focus is only should be on our sadhana. We should only follow the footsteps of our acharyas. We should not focus here and there. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. So thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very, very nice. We have explained, and also like, you know, you're putting yourself as an example and then doing it, showing us how we should be thinking and try to go further instead of falling back, or we cannot stay in one place. We must
God go forward. Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna. Dandavat. Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Jai Srila Prabhupada. Jai. All good to you as well, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
So sweet.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanaraj Pranamal Gaurishtha Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a nice class. It was really wonderful. Just can you give us some tips, Prabhu? How do we control those bad thoughts? I mean, usually when we restrict our mind, we get more unwanted thoughts. How do we control those, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna Vardhana Mataji. Mataji, what I have read, heard, and experienced in my own spiritual life is that restricting those thoughts is only 25% of the battle. What we really need to do is take shelter of those energies which elevate our consciousness, protect our consciousness, and inspire us. When negative thoughts are hounding us, we have to take shelter of Krishna's holy name and take shelter of those glorious examples which give us tremendous inspiration. Those examples which will never disappoint us. To give an example is, whenever I feel, just few days ago I will share with you, few days ago I was feeling very, how do I put it? I was feeling emotionally exhausted because of a certain service that I was having to do. It was a very difficult service. I was not enjoying it. But in the service of Srila Prabhupada, in the service of ISKCON, I had to do that. I had to be confrontational with some, you know, certain entities. And it was emotionally draining me. And one morning I was, you know, I had, you know, completed my sadhana and I was driving to the hospital. And I was just, and I had to make another phone call that day. And I was really not looking forward to it. And I was feeling so emotionally drained. I was feeling that I just want to quit. I want to just stop giving all classes, stop doing any service, just be at home and focus on my own sadhana. I don't want anything. This is getting too much. It is just, I'm not able to focus on Krishna Katha. I'm not able to, you know, that nectar that I was tasting, I'm not able to, you know, taste it, or I'm just distracted by all these things. And I was just, I became overwhelmed. Suddenly, I became so emotionally overwhelmed. And I, generally, when I am like this, you know, Karbanya Dosho, I usually take shelter of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And just somehow when I read what he has written, or I just feel so good. But I was driving, so at a light, a traffic light, a red light, I just, there is one particular video of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He is dancing, holding hands with Satchinandan Maharaj in Kirtan. It is one of the most beautiful meditations of my life. So I just was looking at Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and Satchinandan Maharaj, and I was just meditating. It was a bhajan of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, where they were dancing and in that video. And I was just praying, and later on in that video, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj takes a small baby on his lap. When Mataji brings her newborn baby, he's an infant, not a newborn, infant, and he places that infant on his thigh, and, you know, he's smiling at the infant, blessing the infant. And another scene in that video when he's being taken on a wheelchair, that was in the last days of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's manifest Leela, one devotee puts forth his or her, you know, small baby, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj reaches out with his right hand and places his lotus hand on the baby's head. And I was praying to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj that just like you're taking that baby on your lap, just like you're blessing that baby with your lotus hand on the head, I feel like a spiritual baby. And I started crying. I was praying to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, please Maharaj, take me on your lap. Please place your lotus hand on my head too. I really need it. I really need it. And I was just so overwhelmed. It was such a, but I felt so close to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Although I have never spoken to him, I have never met him,
I think I saw him in 2002 in Radha Gopinath Mandir, but at that time I did not know his glory. I was just visiting, you know, it was brief. I think I had a very brief sight. I saw him very briefly. But I feel such a strong connection with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So similarly, we have to develop those connections in our individual personal spiritual life. We have to have that, you know, that person may be our guru, that person may be some very spiritually advanced person who you can relate to, who inspires you tremendously. Gaur Govinda Maharaj is another great personality in my life, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. We have to have such people, you know, Bhakti Vinod Thakur's bhajans, they inspire tremendously, Narottam Das Thakur. You know, such great acharyas, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's examples, you know, these acharyas are never going to disappoint us. So when we are in situations where, you know, we are like a crisis situation or a situation that are very negative, if we take shelter of such extremely positive forces, then that can, you know, steer the ship of our spiritual life away from the storms and into a peace and tranquil waters, and we can make our way towards our destination. So we really need those powerful positive forces. We have to identify them and take shelter of them when we are feeling spiritually weak or spiritually attacked, or when we feel exposed to too much negativity. We need to take shelter of those extremely positive, powerful forces. And you know, I immediately felt better, and it was a great experience. And then I was able to make that phone call also later in the day, holding a straw between my teeth. So yeah, sometimes life can be really challenging. Like, you know, the Christians say, when life gets too much to stand, when life gets too much to stand, you kneel. Which means you pray, you take shelter, Sharanagati. I hope that helps, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Tanat pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhu, and a very nice point. Prabhuji, I really like the point you were telling. Most of the time, I feel myself, fault finding is my tendency. You were telling it was very difficult to read off for me also. Means how I was always praying to Krishna, please help me to read off from this kind of tendency. But you were telling that I really like that point. Maybe it may help for me. Just pray to that, because most of the time we see the devotees and we want to put this devotee in our category, and then we fall fine. Usually I do like that. Means this is not matching in my level, means what I am doing he's not doing. That's why I usually fall fine. But you are telling we should try to pray that devotee. Means are we praying for that devotee or not? If he has difficulty, means we never know if that person has a fault or not, but still our tendency is like that, my tendency is like that. But if we pray to Krishna, he can also come from that difficulty, and we can also develop that compassion. That was the point I really like. Also, you were telling in the class, that just the question you were telling, how we should take the shelter of the pure devotees. We have so many videos in the YouTube, and so many great devotees, they are there. So in the difficulty, we should take the shelter of these devotees. And then there is still so many devotees are there. I just remember the one point in the Sadhu Sangha that Giriraj Maharaj was giving the class. We have to put the fence of the pure devotee. We should not care, because we should care ourselves first to progress in a spiritual life. That's why we should put ourselves in the middle of this devotee. In any situation, if we pray, means you are praying very sincerely and you could come out. Like that, if we are really in difficulty, if we pray these devotees, and if we see the videos are like this, I think it's, we can come out. These things is very nice, Prabhu. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, Prabhuji. All the classes, everything was very inspiring, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji. May I know your name, Mataji?
My name is Anjana Gopika Devidasi, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Anjana Gopika, Mataji. From Alabama. Please accept my humble obeisance.
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Yeah, I just also wanted to let you know how much I appreciate it and am in awe of the selflessness you exhibited in the way you were instructing us today. You know, you said you were preaching to yourself, but it was also for our sake as well. So I really admired the selfless way in which you made the presentation. Also, you piqued my interest when you were talking about Bhaktivedanta Swami, since you never really had much physical association with him. I was wondering, was it a particular book that gave you that connection with him?
Mataji, actually what happened was, I never knew much about Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. And then in the summer of 2005, I was doing my master's in general surgery in a very rural place in India where we did not have internet. And I was there for 3 years, serving the rural population. And I was totally disconnected from ISKCON for those 3 years, from 2004 to 2007. And there were no other devotees there. So me and my wife, we were just two of us somehow struggling. And one day a friend called me from Radha Gopinath Mandir, and he told me that Bhaktivedanta Maharaj has been diagnosed with end-stage melanoma cancer. And Guru Maharaj, means Radhanath Maharaj, is staying there with him in Gita Nagari. And he's going to stay there till the end. So I really, I don't know, something happened when I heard about Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. Something in my heart, I don't know, I can't explain. And after that, I have always been very much interested in knowing more about Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. But over there, where I was in Savangi, and, you know, the interior part of Maharashtra, we had no access to any internet or library. I didn't have any. I had some basic books with me that I had brought from India when I went there, Bhagavad Gita and first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's it. And so I could not read anything, and there were no back to God magazines, nothing. So I waited for so many years until finally, you know, there were some lectures, and I got hold of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's writings. I follow him on Facebook. His disciples, they post almost every day, they post very wonderful articles written by Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. They are so powerful, so practical. So slowly, slowly, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj became a very, very powerful force in my spiritual life, in my personal sadhana. And then there is a 5-hour long lecture which Radhanath Maharaj gave, sharing his experiences with Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. In Radha Gopinath Mandir. I must have heard that lecture, Mataji, more than 10 times.
I think I might have also heard that lecture. Yeah.
You have heard, yeah. Transcript is available. So I have that transcript saved on my iPhone, and that lecture is in my favorite videos on my YouTube account. So, you know, I keep hearing that lecture. It is, I can tell you this, that if we sincerely pray to Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, he's an acharya. He's an acharya. And he blesses us and guides us from the spiritual world. That's all I can say. He's a very, very powerful acharya. Very, very powerful acharya. So the more I hear about him, the more I read about him, and it just somehow, hard to describe, but it just inspires me in my Krishna consciousness. There are some, you know, everybody has some devotees who really inspire them. Bhaktivedanta Maharaj is like that for me.
Yeah, I have a friend who speaks exactly the way you do about her relationship with Bhakti Chaitaswami, and her relationship didn't begin until after he left his body, you know, but she feels just as strongly as you do. I mean, it's like incredible that a person can have such a powerful relationship with someone, even though, you know, that physical connection was never there, you know? And because I don't think my friend ever actually even met him, but I mean, that is her guru. He's not physically present, but that is her guru. So it's like, I think it's like so amazing how such a powerful connection can be there when the person is not even physically present, where there was never any physical association. So just that just really goes to show how the as powerful as Vapu is, it is really true that Devani is even more, you know, important, I guess. Anyway, thank you for sharing your story.
Yes, Mataji. And
the class.
Yeah, thank you, Mataji. Yes, Vani. Mm-hmm. I'm very happy to hear about your friend.
Yeah, in fact, you know, hearing you talk, I wish that the two of you could have a conversation because you two sound exactly alike to me, you know, and when you're talking about Bhakti Chaitaswami, you know, that deep, deep, you know, really deep connection, yeah.
Thank you, Mataji. I will share that video if it's okay on our group.
Monday. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anyone else has any questions or comments for Prabhupada? So thank you all so much for joining. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for a very, very inspiring class and all the devotees for a very beautiful discussion. We can end the call now. Vancha kalpata rubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnav vrindi ki jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai Sri Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. His grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.